Would you bow your head with me just one more time as we go to the Word? Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness. And Lord God, as we come to open your Word, we ask, Lord God, that you would allow us to sense your presence, that, Lord God, that you would move upon our hearts, that, Lord God, we would be open and honest in allowing you to do what is needed in and through our lives. We ask that our time together, Lord God, that you would bless and anoint the Word as it goes to our heart. We give you honor. We give you praise. We thank you, Lord God, for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, we're going to be looking at verses 4 to 7. And I hope that as we are praying that you would say, Lord God, I hope that our future is in your hands. I hope, Lord God, that our times of anxiety, our times of stress, our times of unsurety would be in your hands. I'm asking, Lord God, that I feel like I've already been in church. I've already been blessed because of your presence. But Lord God, I'm asking that as I come to this word that you would bless it. Amen. This morning, as we look at Philippians chapter 4, I want us to be encouraged by the words that Paul writes to us about anxiety. Anybody have anxiety today? Anybody have stress going on in their lives? Anybody have unsureties going on in your life? And if you said no, I'd be praying for you this morning. Because if you were Pinocchio, your nose would probably grow a little bit. Because we know that every part of our lives, it seems lately, is stressful. Every part of our life is gotten complex. And as we look at these words of Paul, we see in Colossians, he tells us to be devoted to prayer. He tells us to be empowered by the Lord in his presence. We are told to be watchful. We're told to be thankful. If we did more praying, we'd have less stress. Amen. If we would allow the Lord into our lives to do these things, if we did more praying than stressing, if we did more praying than complaining, I believe God would open up some doors in our lives. So if you would turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, we're going to look and start at verse 4, reading to verse 7. It's Paul's final word to the church at Philippi. He says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." People end up worrying about more things than they need to. Amen? You spend a lot of time worrying about things that don't really happen. You spend more time thinking and getting worried about things that are out of your control. You seem like the stress level is at an all-time high. There's more medicines being given out today for anxiety and stress than ever before. Can you say amen to that? And it begin to look like this. It's supposed to be a generation now that is more technologically savvy, and yet we seem like the more that we know, the more that is supposed to make our life easier, the more that we end up with stress. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Here's part of it. This little mini computer that we carry in our pockets with us causes us more stress than you can believe. As we begin to look at the different things, believe me, I've turned around because I forgot my phone, even though I was only going a short distance. I was only going to be away for a little bit. I've turned around and went back. I've checked my message. Do you know that the average time, 6 minutes before someone is checking their messages? Have you ever sat around the table? It's almost like watching idols. Everybody sits around the table. They all throw their phone up onto the table, and every beep, you're wondering if it's yours or somebody else's. We've gotten so good at it that we put different rings on our phone so that we can tell if it's ours or not. And whether we're in the moment, every step of the way. Some of you sleep with your phone. You know who you are. Used to be on the bedstand, but you were afraid you were going to miss something. Now it's laying right next to you. Some of you treat it like a nightlight. Every time it blinks, you're up. We text somebody, and now it used to be we text somebody, and when they got a chance, but now you text somebody, you're wondering why they don't get back to you right away. You get agitated. You're wondering, I've texted this person a few minutes ago. Why have they not gotten back to me? We have information at our fingertips, but we don't have a pause button at our fingertips. And we begin to stress out. We begin to have these times that we just feel like we're disconnected. We are disconnected. But at times it's from God, because we've allowed all this technology to interfere with our time alone with God. We go on vacation when it's supposed to be a time to get away, and we're strapped to the phones. We almost feel like the need, like immediately as we see something, we need to show somebody and send a picture and do all these things. And all it does is create anxiety for our lives. Everyone is busy. You say amen to that? Anybody besides me busy? You talk to somebody, I'm busy, busy, busy. What are you doing? I don't know. I'm just busy. I'm just busy. I don't have any time. And you stop and you think about it, and I've never heard anyone go, you know what, I'm just living the dream, man. I'm just sitting back in my lounge chair on the back of the church enjoying life. No one says that to you. You go up to a senior citizen that retired and you say, what's going on? I'm so busy. Really? And hey, you're gonna laugh. I'm so busy that I don't know how I found time to work. Isn't that what people say to you? And you're thinking, really? How can you be that busy? You know what happens when you get that busy? I'm gonna probably step on a few toes, but the Lord stepped on me on getting this message. So, you know, trust me when I say it. He stepped on my toes, so I'll step on yours. You got to love me anyways. But you know what happens when we get that busy? Devotion to God. Time away. Time to pray. Time to spend time with God. Time alone to fellowship with people of like-minded faith. Church suffers. Because Sunday now, what used to be a time of fellowship with people of like-minded faith, gathering to gather the word that would take time in their week to refresh, even for a moment, to hear from God, are now the ones that Sunday morning they go, I can't. I just can't do one more thing. Even if it's a good thing of getting up and going to the house of the Lord. We find people struggling in all of these areas. It ends up to be the number one stumbling block of believers. Paul, with much conversation to the churches, is telling people to slow down. Is telling people that they're spending too much time in activities and forgetting about God, forgetting about the things that strengthen us, the things that cause us to be able to refresh. And he tells us, rejoice in the Lord. And he didn't stutter. He says it again because he's hoping that if he says it twice, we would listen once. That we need to rejoice in the Lord. We need to take a break. We need to see what God wants to do. It's hard to rejoice in the Lord when we can't get a breath. Amen? You got to be honest. It's hard to get a breath when we're so busy. It's hard to be more Christ-like when we're not spending time with Christ. It's hard to get a breath when we feel like the weight of the world is on our shoulders, and most of the time we put it on ourselves. You can say amen or oh me or oh no or whatever, but it's true. We put these things on ourselves. We create the schedule. You control your schedule. Nobody puts down the things in your schedule except you. And you prioritize what's important. Let your being in Christ be evident to all that come around. It's hard to do when you're so stressed out. Paul calls us to joy and peace in all these circumstances, and he commands us to rejoice in the Lord. You know what I'm saying? That's not a suggestion there. He says, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I tell you to rejoice. And then he goes on to speak to us, and he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, with prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, present your request unto God. But here's how we really approach this. Don't be anxious about some things. No. He doesn't say about some things. He says about all things. And in most situations, no, all situations. By worrying and complaining, no. By prayer and petition, with ungratefulness, no. With thanksgiving and with much whining, no. Presenting it to God. Do you see where we go wrong sometimes? We approach God and we don't want anxiousness, but we don't take all things. We take most things. Sometimes if we weren't whining, God probably wouldn't recognize who it is. Did that just come out? I didn't see that in my notes. We got to approach God with the right attitude. He's speaking to the church. He's speaking to believers. He's not talking to outsiders. He's talking to insiders, telling us that you know, the joy of the Lord comes from the inside. And the more time that you're spending with the Lord is the more you're able to take that joy and work it into your lives. Maybe, just maybe, if we wouldn't have so much on our plate and overfill all of our times with activities and not be exhausted, maybe the Lord could do something in our lives. Amen? Now, I'm not a doctor. Please don't get me wrong. If you need medication, take medication. If you need something to help you along, then please, by all means, do it. I'm not a doctor. I am saying that our plates are so full that we don't give God time to work in some of our anxiety. We don't give God time to work in some of our circumstances because we're not bringing them to Him. We're missing the main ingredient for God to do something in the anxiety of our lives. Praying believers can live the dream. Can you say amen to that? Praying believers can live the dream because the dream is focused on Christ. The dreamer is bringing that request to God, knowing that God is the main part of it, and it's all wrapped up in Jesus. Some dream the dream, but they never give God a chance to be in it. I didn't expect anybody to say amen there. Believers that have a habit of praying, and praying isn't the last thing that happens in their life in this situation. I've said this a couple weeks ago. You know, when somebody says, the last thing I got is praying, well, that ought to be your first thing. When you've run out of ideas and praying comes up, then you need to redo that list. Because praying ought to be one of the first things that you do in any situation, giving God an opportunity. How much more would we see God do something in our lives if we came presenting those requests to God and believing that He wants to do it? How many more things would happen in our lives if we presented these things to God and gave God an opportunity to work in our lives? How many have heard of the prayer of Jabez? A couple of you. The prayer of Jabez is amazing. The prayer of Jabez is two verses, but it's talking about presenting your request to God. Here's these verses. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother named him Jabez, saying that I gave birth to him in pain. Jabez cried out to God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me. Keep me from harm so that I may be free of pain." And the verse ends, "And God granted his request." Now hear me this morning when I say this. Imagine that. God actually doing what he said he would do. Imagine that. God actually wanting to be involved in our lives, doing something for a person who is crying out to him and allowing him to be God in their life. Amazingly, God intervenes and begins to share this verse and says, "And God granted his request." How many believe that if you prayed and asked God to enlarge your territory, why wouldn't he do it? Because you're actually praying, "God, would you enlarge my territory and make my influence more with people that come around me?" Why wouldn't God want to answer that prayer? Why wouldn't God say, "Let your hand be with me," and you're asking God's anointing, "God, as I do any of these things, as I go through my day, as I work, as I minister, as I try to raise a family, as I try to reach those around me for Christ, Lord, be with me, anoint me, help me." And then to ask God, "Keep me from harm. Protect me, God." In this day and age where we're not sure even when we go out the door sometimes, or we walk and drive to the mall, that we don't know what's going on, "God, would you protect me? Would you protect my family? Would you keep me from harm?" In everything, as Scripture says, present these things to God. Now, I realize everything covers a whole lot of ground. But if we're looking to ask God to be involved in our needs and our circumstances, and we're bringing them to God, why would we not present these things to God with the hopes that he is going to intervene and answer those prayers? R. Rainey says it this way: "The way to be anxious about nothing is to be prayerful about everything." That's good stuff, ain't it? Let me read that again. "The way to be anxious about nothing is to be prayerful about everything. The way to see anxiety fall off," now this is my version, "the way to see anxiety fall off is some of us need to get our praise on." She's saying, you know what I mean? Some of us need to allow God to do these things in our life, and as we enter up into praise, we begin to see God do some amazing things. See, anxiety, I believe, cannot hang around when you're praising. When you're lifting up Jesus. Now, it may not change the circumstance immediately, but it is going to change your attitude to gratitude. And it will allow you to put your praise on and begin to get anxiety coming out. So if you want less anxiety, start praying. Amen, brother. You have anxiety. You're trying to get these things out of your life, trying to do it in your own strength. You're asking God to intervene. And you're asking God to do something amazing. Hope of praise. Make hope a prayer. When it comes to God intervening in our lives and you're bringing that prayer request, let it begin with praise. Thank God for what he's already done. We're blessed people. Every day, we should realize how blessed we are when you see these third world countries, when you see the countries. There's a reason that people are trying to get to America. We need to be thankful for what he's doing, what he's already done, and coming to God with a heart and an expectation that God can do the impossible. God can intervene in their circumstance. God can change a person's heart. We need to come to him humbled and respectful, but then we also need to come to him knowing that he's God and can intervene and do these things in our life. Someone ought to be getting excited this morning. I believe that someone is going to grab onto that and say, "You know what, God? I trust God just enough for my circumstance that I trust God to intervene." Kind of like the centurion soldier, if you remember the story there. And he had this servant that was dying, and he sent word to Jesus that if Jesus would just come and heal his servant. But then as he got there, he said, "You know what? Jesus, you don't even need to show up. Just say the word. Because I believe you have the authority to change this circumstance by just your word. That's what we need. You need to come to him humble. Last thing this morning is praying that God would bring the peace of God in our lives. How many know someone? Of course, it's not any of us because we're all sanctified and glorified and petrified. But how many know so many people that you would say they need the peace of God because they run around one string loose of going off the deep end, like letting go of a helium balloon. It's just going to take off. Word tells us this morning, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. Do I need to remind you this morning that God is answering prayers? He hasn't stopped. There's power in prayer. There's circumstances can be changed by prayer. God still is blessing people. God still desires to work in people's life. The peace of God is not a place. Can you say amen? You don't arrive at a place of peace with God. The peace of God is inside of us. God dwelling within us. It's in the person of Jesus Christ. It's in the Holy Spirit working in our life. Our power comes from the Holy Spirit in empowering us to do the things God has called us to do, to give us the strength. The peace of God is supernatural. That's why most people can't have it. And that would be a great place to say amen. The peace of God is supernatural. You can't manifest that yourself. God has to do that through you and in you. That's why when you see somebody that's going through such a crisis and chaos and they seem to have the peace of God and you're wondering, how can that person make it through with those things going on in their life? It's because God supernaturally is working in their lives, allowing them to have his peace. That's why they are experiencing it. The peace of God appears in the verses is meaning that the peace of God has and the peace of God gives. God's wanting us to come to him to receive that abundant, never-ending peace that he desires to give and put in our life, and he wants to give it to us in our lives. See, God's peace is more than the absence of conflict. See, most people want that. God, I need you to do such and such and such and such and such in my life, then I'll have the peace of God. He says, nope, I can give you the peace of God to make it through such and such and such and such and such in your life. God's peace is more than the absence of conflicts. It's the word shalom. Shalom. Peace. God's peace. It's the same peace when he stilled the waters. It's the same peace when he intervened in people's lives. Paul says it transcends all understanding. You know, when I read that, I say, I hope not. Because God, I want to understand that. Amen? I'm hoping that I can understand how much it transcends all understanding. And however that works, I want it, Lord. I know it's beyond what I can do in myself, but I still want it, Lord. I know it's more than human resources, but Lord God, I want it. Human reasoning only takes us so far. It comes unexpected. Here's the great thing about it. It comes unexpected when you're praying for it. All of a sudden you go, wow, how did I get through that? God, you must be in this. The Apostle Paul, when we see him when he's in prison, how does he get through such a torment and have such a peace that he's even going to continue, even in the midst of the things going on in his life, to speak to all the churches that he had ministered to? How do you make it through fighting cancer? How do you make it through the quarrels that seem to be always going about us? How do we make it through the enemies that just never seem to let up? And those people that we can't reason with? It's having the peace of God, the shalom, the ability for God to say, I got this, I got you, and take you through these things. See, I close with this verse 7. It says, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I'm just gullible enough to believe God to stand in front of us, protecting us sometimes. That his strength, sometimes when we're so weak and we have nothing left, I picture God saying that, I got you. I'm going to put a hedge of protection around you. I'm going to put that protection around, I'm going to make a perimeter around you. And then I think, God, what all are you protecting us from? We can't imagine sometimes. You say amen to that? We have no idea what's going on in the spiritual realm and what God is doing. But I know this. At times I know God is protecting my thoughts, protecting my emotions, protecting my anxieties because there's things that are out of my control. I know God is protecting me sometimes from fussing and fighting with the enemy of my soul. Where at times I just say, God, you got to do this. You've got to take this. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. Remember that verse. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. So as I wind this up and as I start heading down this hill, if you've been here more than twice, that doesn't mean I'm stopping. That just means I'm slowing down. When is the last time that you took time to pray? I mean, really pray. Besides that shotgun prayer that you say in the midst of going through something, when's the last time you took time to pray intentionally? Took time to pray for yourself. God, this is what's going on in my life. I know you already know, and the word tells us that he knows, even when we have those moments where your prayers are just blubber, you can't even get a word out because you're so broken that God understands. At those moments, he's saying, yeah, I got you. When's the last time you prayed like that? When's the last time you prayed for someone else? I've shared that this past year has broken us as a church as far as physical ailments that have come across so many people. When's the last time you were intentional rather than just saying, man, I am so sorry that it happened to such and such, and you start saying, you know what? I'm lifting them up to you, God, this morning. I intentionally lift their name up to you. And God, I don't want to just always be the whiner coming. But Lord God, also what I'm presenting to you this morning is praise. I can't even imagine all the things that you do for me that I don't give you credit for. But this morning, God, I just want to say thank you. I just want to say and acknowledge. And if it's been a while, today you can change things. Amen? As long as you have breath in your body, you can change things. You can allow God to do different things in your life. So today you can change those things. You can say to the Lord, between you and him, you can say, today, Lord, I want to change these things. I don't want circumstances to get so overwhelming that I lose my time with you, that I lose my priorities. And God, if I'm that busy that I can't spend time with you, then something's got to come out of my calendar. Maybe you've been doing that and doing things in your own strength, and today you really just need to say, God, I'm exhausted. I need you to do something in my life. Maybe today you're just saying, you know what? You keep talking about this peace, and God, I don't know how I can get it, but God, I need the peace of God. I need you to help me through the things that I'm going through. Maybe, like I said, you've heard so many things that are going on with so many people here of late. You say, "No, what, Lord, I can't fix it, but I can pray about it. I can lift them up to you. I can believe, Lord God, that through all of this, that you're going to break through this barrier. You're going to break through this situation, and you're going to bring their name before them, and you're going to have an attitude of praise, and you're going to trust God." So here's my prayer for each and every one of us this morning. I pray that the Lord touched you in some area of your life, that maybe he's speaking to you to pray more for yourself, pray more for others. Maybe you're too busy and he's saying you need to cut some things out. Maybe you need to regroup the priorities. You've been busy and some things that God is asking you to do ministry-wise, church-wise, stopping to see your neighbor-wise, whatever it is. You're saying, "You know what, Lord, I need to regroup my calendar a little bit." However it works out, I'm praying that God would say something to you this morning. Amen? Would you bow your head with me? Father, we live in a day and age that if we're not careful, every day could be stressful. Every day could be filled with anxiety. Every day could be filled with unsureties. Lord God, like I said, I'm not a doctor, and if you need it, you do what the doctor says. But I am saying that in the midst of all this, that some of the anxiety, some of the pressure, some of the worrying we put on ourselves, and if we would spend time with you, Lord God, you would begin to drop some of it out of our lives. The peace of God that passes all understanding would equip us to journey through some of these things. I'm asking, Lord God, that you would speak to each one of us in your own special way. I thank you today because I believe you spoke to each and every one of us in some way, in some area of our lives, and that you would get honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.